Tonight, that's what we're going to talk about. We are going to talk about a healthy family. What does that look like? How do you obtain that? Is it obtainable? And so before we jump into God's word, let's bow our head and pray. Father, we come before you right now just praying that, God, your words are spoken, Father. God, I pray that you allow us to hear and see in your scriptures what you want us to hear and see tonight, Father. God, I pray that our hearts are moved. I pray that, God, we can all be inspired and encouraged, God, to have healthy families, God, so that we can glorify you with our lives. Father, we pray for those who aren't here right now, for those that are sick. God, we pray that, God, you will put your healing hand on them and comfort them. And, God, do what you do best, Father, and that's be you. God, help us to be grateful for times like tonight, God, that we can get together as a body, God, and worship and sing songs to you. And, God, just give you our all, Father. God, we pray that you bless tonight. God, I especially pray that, God, you help me to get out of the way so that, God, you can be glorified. I love you. I thank you. Truly, I give you all the glory and all the praise, Father, and all these things I ask and pray in your holy and precious Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. And, man, was we treated tonight with Francisco coming up here singing? I tell you, the kingdom is full of many talented people. So I'm just waiting to see who's next. Unfortunately, I don't have that talent, but it's okay. Hey, wait a minute now. Make me start belting out a song in here. But guys, be turning your Bibles over to Colossians 3. And tonight, we're going to talk about healthy families. What does that look like? And the Bible is very clear on what healthy families, on how healthy families should look. You know, and we're going to look at a couple of passages tonight to really show us and hopefully to inspire us, our hearts. And some of you may be thinking, well, you know, I'm a campus student or I'm a single, so that really doesn't apply to me. Well, the Bible is going to show us how it applies to everybody in this room. And so tonight, I pray that we all open wide our hearts and allow God's word to penetrate it. So that as we leave here, we can all be different men and women and be closer to God. So I'm just going to jump straight into it. Over in Colossians 3 in verse 18, it says, Wives, submit yourselves to your husband as fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it, not only when their eye is on you, and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. And I want to stop right there for a second. The Bible says that we need to work at everything we do as if we're working for the Lord. You know, and brothers and sisters, I got to be honest with you guys. That passage is convicting, not just on dealing with families. It's convicting with even being at church. It says work at it with all your heart. And I want to personally encourage this congregation to work on that. You know, it was encouraging to see Ron at 7:31 ready to start service. But there were about 25 of us in here. Guys, the Bible says that we need to work on this as if we're working for the Lord. Amen. Let's help each other in that area. Amen. That was just a tidbit. That wasn't a lesson. So you can use it for whatever you want to use it for. Amen. But back to this scripture. It says in verse 18, wives, submit yourselves to your husband as it is fitting in the Lord. Now, that word submit, that can be a scary word. That can be an encouraging word. Depends on who's using it. If the wife is using it, saying, hey, I'm submitting, it's very encouraging, you know, to the husband that's hearing it. It can be a scary word to the wife if the husband is using it in the realm of submitting to him. But this word submit, it's not used. We can easily take this out of context. This word submit is not used the way we think it's supposed to be used. See, we use it in a earthly and a worldly term. We use it as, hey, my wife should be submitting to me. And I'll just share briefly, you know, that word submit, even as people are getting married today, as people are, you know, living together and doing more things, that word submit becomes bigger and bigger. It becomes bigger to the man, it becomes less attractive to the woman. And see, what happened is, the reason why this word is even used in the Colossian church was, during that time, the Roman, who was in power at the time, the Roman men had authority. And so what happened was, in that authority, they abused it. And so as women were becoming Christians, as they were more and more, the church was growing more and more, you had women who would come into the church and would not want to submit to their husband, sometimes out of fear, sometimes out of past hurts. And so Paul has to remind the church, wait a minute, no. You submit to your husband out of reverence to the Lord. And so what happens is, Paul has to remind the church, wait a minute, that word submit doesn't mean to cave in, to not have a mind of your own. Paul is simply reminding these guys that, hey, wait a minute, the way you used to live, you can't live like that anymore. You can't just submit when it's okay for you or when it's comfortable or when it's easy. He said submit in everything. Now, when I was first married, I was raised by my grandfather, who had a warped way of thinking. My grandfather believed that in the home, the man was the law. That was it. And so he kind of ran our household that way. And so he believed that, hey, as long as I work and put food on the table and the bills are paid, you should submit to me. Now, there would be times I remember when my grandfather would leave on Friday night and wouldn't come back home until Sunday night. But he's wanting my grandmother to submit to him. And so from a young boy, I kind of had a warped view of what submission really was. I didn't understand godly submission. And so as I grow up, as I get married, what do you think happens? Some of those same traits follow me. And that didn't work too well with my wife as far as, you know, telling her to submit because I said so. It didn't work that way. And it's not going to work that way. You know, as we talk about healthy families, this is going to be huge. It goes on. Keep your place there because we're going to come back to that. It goes on. It says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. I could have just stopped right there, and that could have been for the next 2 hours. I could have just talked about that because that's something that's near and dear to me. Husbands, do not be harsh to your wife. And for the longest, you know, I could not be harsh to my wife if things were going great. But if things weren't going the way I thought they should be going, it'd be easy to be harsh. It'd be easy to come home from a long day and use it as a, you know, as an excuse that, hey, I had a hard day and that entitled me to be harsh. Or maybe she was being harsh with me, so it entitled me to be harsh back. The Bible is clear. It says, husbands, do not be harsh with your wives. And that's a hard thing to do for some men, not everybody, but I'll be honest, it was hard for me. I had to learn that, and I'm still learning it. And then he says, Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Obeying your parents. Our marriage the first few years was extremely hard because me and my wife had different standards as far as how we were raising our children. And so my wife's standard was the children need to obey. And my standard was slightly lower that, yeah, they need to obey when they've done something really bad. To my shame, that's the way I thought. And so what was happening is it was causing my children to pick sides. Hey, well, you know what? Daddy's the good guy and mom's the bad guy. And this went on for several years. Several years. And we started seeing the damage that it had done. The damage that it had done to my relationship with the kids, my relationship with my wife's relationship with the kids, because at that point, the children were not obeying their parents. They were obeying their parent. And it became a mess, you know, to the point where my kids would, you know, not want to even go and ask my wife or do anything because they felt like, hey, I can go to dad and I'm going to get a good answer from dad. I say all that to let you guys know that, man, not everybody in this room has started off with a healthy family relationship. And it's okay because God can fix that. I want to talk about three things tonight that a healthy family should have. A healthy family should have a spiritual head. In the Bible, we're going to talk about that in a minute. The Bible talks about that spiritual head should be Christ. A healthy family should have rules that everybody follow. And those rules are called our doctrine, the Bible. Every healthy family should have this. And thirdly, we're going to talk about a healthy family should always have a heart to want to be with the family. And so, you know, so as we talk about this, the head, you know, which is Christ, turn with me over to Ephesians 5. And it's so cool how the Bible, we can look in different passages. In Ephesians 5, we're going to start in verse 21. We can look in different passages and we can see God showing us the exact same thing. How one church, he lays it out and explains to the church, and then he may use another church as an example of the same thing he just explained. And so over in Ephesians 5, in verse 21, it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's where it starts, out of reverence to Christ. Because if we start off doing it for any other reason, if I'm submitting to my wife or my wife to me for any other reason, we've already started off on the wrong foot. Right? Because that will be so short-lived that, and most of you guys know, all it would take is, man, the food is burnt. Okay, that submission is gone now. Now it's my point or my way. Or you didn't put gas in the car and I got to drive the kids to school. Okay, well then now that submission is gone. Now I have a right to be angry and not listen. And so God says to start off, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. See, this is the key. We don't submit to each other, or the wives aren't supposed to submit to the husband because what the husband have or what he's obtained or his status in life or even in a church. The Bible is very clear. It says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husband as you do to the Lord. See, God doesn't change. So as we submit to God, whether it's good things that he's blessing us with or it's hard things that he's allowing us to go through, we still submit to God's will and his authority. And so a lot of times we can have a warped view on our submission to each other because we base it off circumstance or situations and not out of reverence for God. And so God is helping to remind us, no. If you want to have a healthy family, this is where it has to start. And we submit out of reverence to God because he is the head. That is the head. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Now, this lesson may be a little challenging for some people. That word, everything. I don't think God made a mistake putting that word in there. I really don't. I think God meant what he said, and he said what he meant. He said, in everything. Let's keep reading here. He says, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husband in everything. But here's the key. Husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And see, as the wife submits to her husband, she's submitting to her husband out of a reverence for God. Not as out of a duty as a wife or as a mother. She's doing it out of a reverence to God, which is a huge difference. Because we all have jobs. We've all, you know, had bosses who we had to submit to at some point in our lives. We've all had to do things that we may not have wanted to do. But we did it because we were looking for something on the other end. The Bible tells us here we do it because we look for the reward, which is heaven. That's why we do it now, not because I'm looking for kudos on the back or my husband to be pleased or not be mad at me. I'm doing it because I want to please God. And in this church, in this room, we have to ask ourselves, is this what I do? Do I submit in everything? Or do I submit in the things that's easy for me to submit in? My husband is not good in finances, so I'm not submitting to him in that. My husband always raises his voice, so I'm not going to submit to him. My husband barely spends time with our children, so I'm not going to submit to him now. And see, we pick and choose when we're going to submit. That's not what Scripture teaches us. It teaches us in everything. It goes on, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. I got to stop there for a second because for husbands, there are three things that we should be doing if we want to have a healthy family. First thing as a husband we should be doing is we should be washing our wives with the word of God. Amen. Second thing we should be doing is we should be presenting our wives as a radiant church, blameless. Now that word blameless, that is a key word in Scripture because in the Greek, it doesn't mean what we use it for. We should be presenting our wives without a single fault as a husband. And I'll tell you, for me, that's extremely hard. And it has been hard. Because as a man, it's easy for me to point out what my wife hadn't done or what I think she should be doing. And so at times I don't present her that way. Now, I'm just telling you guys for me. And so I'm doing this, but I'm asking her to be submissive to me in everything.
how well do you think that's going to go in terms of helping us having a healthy family? It wouldn't go very far. The last thing that we must do, the scripture says, is that we must love our wives as Christ loved the church. So what that means a unending love. That doesn't just mean a Valentine's Day love or a wedding anniversary love. That's not the type of love that scripture's talking about here. He's talking about a love that encompasses mistakes, a love that encompasses faults. And so, as a husband, the Bible is telling us, wait a minute, are we loving our wives even through their faults? Are we loving our wives through whatever? You fill in the blank. And I tell you, Satan tries so hard to get in there. Usually, you know when the most fights occur? On the way to church. You're a married couple, most of your fights occur on the way to church. Usually about something so small and minute or crazy. 9 times out of 10 is usually the way the husband is driving. That's usually most of it. Well, for me, I'll say that's where most of it comes in at, you know. Now, this is just me. My first reaction is usually, well, do you want to drive? I'm just being honest. I'm just confessing some of my sin here. But we say that and we laugh, but it's wrong. It's sin because the Bible says the good that we ought to do and don't do is sin. And so I'm not presenting my wife as radiant without fault, without blemish. I'm not loving her the way Christ loved the church. And so it starts to show. You know, I love the way Ephesians worded opposed to Colossians. Ephesians gets a little bit more in depth here. Verse 26, it says, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. I want to stop right there for a second. The Bible talks about a husband loving a wife and a wife respecting a husband. It says it's a profound mystery. How does all this work? Well, it only works when Christ is the head. It's the only way it's going to work. Because for me to love my wife, I have to love Christ. I have to have an example to follow. And without that example, I'm going to focus on other things. Without Christ being the head, without Christ being the center, my love for my wife will be very conditional. Be very temporary. Kind of like how we are with cars, right? Or clothes. We love it for a while, then after a while, there's something better. There's always something better. And we can become the same way in our families if Christ is not the head. Wives, respect your husbands. It will be the exact same way. You know, I want to talk about a couple of things that wives should do. And it's so funny because as we read the passage, you'll see the Bible is clear. It talks about the three things that it wanted the husbands to do. It's going to talk about some things for the children here in a second. But it really stuck on one point for the wives. Y'all know what that was? Submit. Submit. Why? Because I think just as hard as it is for a husband to love his wife the way Christ loved the church, it can be that hard for a woman to submit. And so, because we look at it with ungodly eyes at times, we look at submit as this is a weakening thing. This is taking authority and power away from me. This is making me the weaker person in this relationship. And the person that I'm submitting to isn't even strong spiritually. These are thoughts that we could have in our house, that why do I have to submit to him? Maybe he doesn't even come to church. So why do I have to submit to him? Maybe he doesn't do all that he's supposed to do as a husband, as a father. Why do I have to submit to him? God is clear when he says this. He says, you do this out of your reverence or your love for him. So your lack of reverence or your lack of respect is just a direct correlation of your relationship with God. It is a direct correlation, because here's the deal. The Bible says that if it's going to be, I'm doing this out of my reverence, out of my love for you, God. Well, we show God how much we love him at times by exactly how we act and what we do. And God is saying, wait a minute, but as much as I love you, this is how you're going to do me. And see, when we do that, we're not looking at God anymore. We're looking at our spouse, that other person. And once we take our eyes off God, things go haywire. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. And I study this out a lot. I've actually been studying out, relationships with children and with Jesus for a while. Children, he's talking about obedience here. He says, obedience is simply three things. It's hearing, it's understanding, and it's responding. Now, for children, it says, obey your parents. It doesn't say obey your parent. It says obey your parents. And for a lot of the kids, it's easy to, I'm going to listen to dad. Some of them, I'm going to listen to mom. And in a lot of households, and unfortunately in this church, they listen to whoever raises their voice the loudest. And that's not the household that God is talking about. That's not what God is talking about when he says, obey your parents. You don't obey your parents because of who raises their voice the loudest. You obey your parents because it pleases God. And that's where it has to start. You know, the Bible also says, you know, to teach a child the way he should go. Teach a child. Some scriptures say train a child. But what happens today is we tell a child. And so what ends up happening is, hey, I'm telling you to do this. Why? Because I said so. Now, God is no longer in this picture. This is about me and you now. And so if God is going to be the head, we have to keep him as the head. So if we're supposed to teach a child, there's a big difference in teaching and telling. See, I can tell my son, go clean the yard. Or I can go out there and I can teach him how to clean the yard. And the whole yard is clean. And so as we are raising children, and it does take all of us, we should be doing more teaching through God's word, not just telling them. You know, we see a lot of, our kids doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And it's easy to go and tell them, you need to stop that. You need to do this. You need to do that. And that's great. Don't get me wrong. I'm not discrediting that. We need to have an element of that. But how much do we tell them what God says about that? When we see our children acting out in school, or when we see our children acting out at home, how do we handle it? Are we teaching them? Because I'm going to tell you, they're going to see us as we're trying to tell them how to see God. And it gets so convoluted because they're seeing, hey, your dad is telling you to do something and you're not doing it. But now you're telling me to do something and I'm not doing it, but I'm getting punished. So as parents, we have to stay in our word. We have to stay on our knees in prayer and ask God, God, reveal these things. Ask for wisdom. Ask for discernment. The Bible says, man, when we ask for wisdom, God gives it to us in abundance. But what happens is we try to fix these problems based off of what mom and dad did, off what grandma did. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard, hey, it didn't kill me and I turned out okay. I've said it before, but does it make it right? God is trying to give us a blueprint on how to have a healthy family. Because see, here's the deal. We can have the wife over here, the husband over here, and the children can be in the middle, and they can all get together. But it's so much better when you have the wife, the husband, and God, and they both get to God. And now everything is complete. But what happens is we try to fix these problems ourselves. You know, here in the church, you know, there's a lot of blended families. There's a lot of adopted children in the church. The same thing applies. You are in that family for a reason. God has placed you exactly where you're supposed to be because he don't make mistakes. Turn over to John 34 with me. I'm sorry, John 13, 34. I know you're like, John 34? What Bible are you reading out of, Tony? So, I know, hey, some of y'all laughing, but y'all was turning there. Where's that at? Is he in the NIV Bible? But in John 13, 34, Jesus says, a new command I give you. Love one another as I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciple if you love one another. That's a broad statement. Love one another. Well, how do I love? How do we love each other? The Bible tells us unconditionally. You know, in our homes, whether you are a single, a campus, how you love and how you submit to your roommates is a direct correlation to your relationship with God. So if you aren't submitting to your roommate over here, if you aren't loving your roommate over here, then how can you say, I'm going to love and submit to God? It doesn't work like that. It just doesn't. And so God is teaching us, whether you are a teenager, whether you are a campus student, a single, a married, God is saying, hey, listen, this is a new command I'm giving you guys. You remember those old commands I gave you? Hey, here's a new one. I want you guys to love one another as I've loved you. Now, how did he love us? God loved us unconditional. He loved us through our faults. He loved us through our sin. And see, to have a healthy family, we have to love each other through those things. You know, we can't keep a chalkboard of records of wrongs. Every time somebody messes up, when my wife messes up, oh, I remember you did this a couple of months ago, so I'm pulling it out to use it today. Or when I mess up, she does it. Or when our children mess up, we pull it out on them. That's not the love that Jesus was talking about. And And so he had to remind us, wait a minute, this is a new command. Because you know what? Just like here, we forget. We forget these things. We forget that, wow, I'm supposed to love my wife like Jesus loved the church. And we don't talk about it enough. How often do we come in here and ask each other, how's your marriage really doing? How's it going with your children? Now, we can hear gossip and go with it, but when was the last time you asked someone in here, hey, how's things going at home? When's the last time we asked each other about our finances? When's the last time we asked each other about our children and what's going on? That's loving each other unconditionally. Because I'll tell you, if my son, for whatever reason, decided, hey, I'm just not coming home tonight, I need to find out. I will be calling everybody in here. Hey, have you seen Jalen? Have you heard from Jalen? Whatever needs to happen. But why don't we do that with each other at church? We have brothers and sisters in this very congregation who, for various reasons, don't come to midweek or barely come to church on Sundays. Do we get in their lives and ask what is going on? Or do we just assume? Or do we wait for somebody else to do it? Guys, this is the love that God is talking about. We have to love each other past that uncomfortable stage, to the point of asking, hey, why weren't you in class yesterday? Hey, what happened at work? What's going on with your children? Hey, I saw your wife crying in the back. Is everything okay? Can we talk? Brother, how are your times with God going? Are you having them? I think once we get there, we will have a healthy family. And see, the family that I'm talking about, and I'm sure a lot of you guys were probably under the impression of the family at home. That's where it starts. But I'm talking about the family of believers. Amen. I'm talking about us. Because here's the deal. I may not see any of you guys until Sunday. And most of you I won't see until Sunday. Most of you won't see me until Sunday. Will I love you guys the way the Bible tells me to when I see you? I pray that I will. I pray that you'll love me that way. But at the same time, guys, we have to start loving each other even when it hurts. When we're at home, that's when the real us comes out. The wife knows how the husband is at home. The husband knows how the wife is at home. And what's even scarier is the kids know how the parents are at home. But isn't it amazing how we all come to church and we think that a shirt and tie can change us, or a nice dress can erase what happened at home? It doesn't happen that way. It doesn't just go away by osmosis. Guys, who we are at home is who we are here. You know, and for the teens, I really want to say, you know, you guys have a great opportunity. You guys have a great opportunity to do something great. Many of you are making decisions now to start studying the Bible, to get to know God and have a relationship with Him. I will say this. Get your convictions from the Bible. Amen. Don't get your convictions from whomever's up here speaking. Don't get your convictions because you see mom or dad. Get your convictions from God's word. For the rest of us, I say, it's time to start getting some deeper convictions about our relationship and our walk with God. Because as God strengthens this family, and He is going to strengthen His family, He's doing it as we speak. as God strengthened his family, I want us all to think with one last question that I have. How would God's church look if he modeled this church after me and my family? How would it look? Would there be a whole lot of bickering and arguing? Would it be a thriving, healthy, righteous church? Would it be a church filled with openness, filled with love? Because we make up God's church. So God's church is going to be what we are. So tonight as we leave here, I pray that each and every one of us take time to really think about what we are bringing to God's family. What are we adding to God's family? What are we teaching our children? How are we loving each other? And most importantly, are we allowing God to be the head? God be the glory.